Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Booker T and the MG bring us back. That song is called Green Onions. Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate. We're spinning some platters here on the Small Business Advocate Show. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. We're having a great visit with one of my favorite folks, Doug Berry, 17-year member of our Brain Trust. He's provided us with so much critical information on helping us do business outside of our four walls, out off of the parking lot, outside of our marketplace, maybe even across the sea. He's the Director of Communications and Publications at the U.S.-China Business Council. Doug Berry, thanks again for being here. Thank you for 17 great years. Let's talk. Give us a report on where you think things are now on something that a year ago had such promise. I admit that I was still naive about the promise that the U.S.-China trade deal, phase one of the trade deal, was going to have. I really thought that China was going to be an honest broker in that deal. And maybe they would have become one. But now in the middle of all this, we've had a bomb drop, this coronavirus bomb. Where are things now and where are they going with the trade deal, Doug?
Well, there are a couple of things to keep in mind. I mean, the first one is that the U.S.-China trade relationship remains important to both countries. For the United States, it generates about 2.4 million jobs. So 2.4 million Americans are supported by the amount of trade, exports and imports, that is done with China. So that's important and hopefully won't change. About the agreement itself, there's $200 billion of additional purchases that China has agreed to buy under the agreement. It's fallen a bit behind where it ought to be at this particular time, maybe more than a bit in some of the areas, particularly services and manufacturing items. It does seem to be earnest in making those purchases, but as you mentioned, the coronavirus has created havoc in the transportation sector and things have slowed down. So they're going to have to accelerate those purchases in order to meet their commitments by the end of the second year, which will be the end of 2021. But people on both sides, in the Trump administration and in the Chinese government, seem to be committed to meeting those particular requirements. The other part, aside from the purchases, is to make changes and improve their intellectual property protection and also open more sectors of the economy. And they seem to be doing a reasonable job in that so far. So the hope is that we can manage to make a success of this agreement and then move on to a second agreement that would tackle some of the more difficult problems, like the subsidies for the state-owned enterprises, which have caused a lot of concern among Americans because we have these enormous Chinese companies that are competing with our companies, and they're getting all of these subsidies from the Chinese government.
Right. And
so that would be part two of it.
Another back to part one, though, on the IP part, the intellectual property part. Every expert I have now in cybersecurity, in the cyber space, every expert I have across the board, and I'm talking, you know, probably a dozen in my Brain Trust, believe that we are in war. Well, I've termed it World War III, a 21st century World War III where there's different ordnance. We're not dropping bombs on each other. But this cyber theft that's been going on right now, and the U.S. has naively and ignorantly and stupidly allowed much of it to happen, is still going on, Doug. We're still, many people that I respect believe that we are at war with China from an intellectual property theft standpoint, literally that we're being, our beaches are being stormed, so to speak. What do you think?
Well, you know, there are many different aspects of intellectual property. One is the, you know, state-sponsored spying, espionage that breaks into computer systems in the government and private sector and steals information. And, you know, that clearly has gone on and probably still is going on. The other part that probably concerns your listeners more than any is just the outright theft of product designs and logos and other things that are occurring in e-commerce and in other places.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that area has been the focus because there's so much money that can be lost if that information is stolen.
And that's part of the gotcha we were talking about before, Doug. Where you can't you got to watch that sort of thing, and I want you to know something though. I differentiate between what China steals and what we allow them to have. Some of the stuff that people talk about China has stolen, that's not true. Some of it is not true because if we do business with them and part of that deal is we turn over certain control of things, that's not China's fault. They took advantage of an opportunity that we allowed them to have. I don't blame China for that. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And, you know, our members of the U.S.-China Business Council are mainly concerned about, product designs being stolen. And on that front, the Chinese seem to be making substantial improvements. Remember, it's an enormous country with 1.4 billion people. The Western legal system is new to the country.
Right.
It's evolving.
Western ethics, that's another thing. Never mind the legal stuff. You know, ethics is devotion to the unenforceable. And that kind of
ethics is not
this is where the West gets in trouble when they travel around the world to other parts of the world and they expect other people to immediately lurch to our ethical regimes, and they just don't. And initially, probably not their fault. We'll be right back with Doug Berry. We got a lot more to cover after the break. Tintail, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.